It's the WIP, what? WIP Afternoon Show. I forgot what our show was. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. The Summer of Shellfish is back. You can check out the full menu along with summer specialty cocktails at ChickiesandPete's.com. Joining us now, as he does every Friday at 3 o'clock, is Elliot Shore Parks. Elliot is brought to you by Robin Ford, online at RobinFord.com. Robin Ford, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. Elliot, how you doing, buddy?
What up? I feel like I haven't talked to you guys in forever. Excited you guys are having me on.
Elliot, are you an
We do it every Friday, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, Elliot, normally I see you guys between Tuesday and Friday, and I haven't, so.
Yeah, that's like a good point.
Yeah.
Were you down in Sea Isle with all of the Jason Kelce stuff?
Yeah.
I was not, but it looked like it was a wild time.
Yeah, it felt like I'm actually surprised at that. Would have been a great content situation for you.
I know. Could have gotten some good stuff for my TikTok and all that, but no, unfortunately, I was not down there.
Elliot, what do you think about Jack's idea or Jack's supposition that you are an Eagles elitist, but that many fans in this city are Eagles elitists, and it's impossible for them to discuss the team without, like, comparing it to the Eagles?
Yeah, I think Jack's just wrong. I mean, this whole
of course.
Idea of being an
classic
Eagles
elitist mentality.
Well, it's like why are people an elitist? Because they bring up they won the Super Bowl, because they point out correctly that they're better than the Phillies and the Sixers. I mean, that's just factual.
It's the tone, though. It's the tone.
Well, I just think, honestly, I think it's only the tone to you because you find it upsetting when teams are better than the Phillies.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing that for my entire life.
Right. Well, that's the rough part of having the Phillies be your number one team. They're not very good. But, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, but I don't
Elliot.
Think it's elitist. I think it's just correct.
Well,
it can be both.
Yeah. No. Like, I don't think. Well, no, hold on. I don't think because the Eagles are better, that necessarily, like, there's a difference between it being right that they're better and it also shading your conversation about the other teams. I think those are two different things.
Well, I just think they're so much better right now, though. So I would agree that, look, the Eagles are better than those teams, and that doesn't mean that the other teams can't win anything. But I do think right now the Eagles are operating at a level much, much higher than either the Phillies or the Sixers.
Could I give you an example of it, and then we can move on, because I didn't plan on talking to you about this anyway. You the other day had – I wasn't being dismissive. I just – like, it wasn't on our list of things. But
okay.
You the other day suggesting that the Phillies, who are now a half game out of first, trade Kyle Schwarber and Zach Wheeler and start to rebuild. That is a little bit of an Eagles elitist kind of take.
So I don't see the Eagles connection to that, and I understand they are not going to blow it up, and I get that why they wouldn't, but I do think it would be the smart thing to do, because they're likely not going to win the World Series, and this is your last chance to ever get value back for Schwarber and Ranger, because they'll be free agents. So I get that it's a you know, somewhat wild opinion to have, but I do think it's correct, and I think when they eventually lose in the playoffs, we will have all wished that they would have capitalized on those players.
Well, I mean, shouldn't any team do that then? That isn't the favorite to win the World Series?
Well, I think the Phillies are in a bit of a unique spot. This is the end of the road for this team, right? I mean, so if you think about if all these guys on the team were 26, 27, then yeah, then that would be different, because it would make sense to re-sign Schwarber. If Ranger wasn't 30, that would be different. But because of where this team is in, you know, kind of their process, where the window is basically closed, it wouldn't. That's why I think it's a bit different. If your core is young and you're going up, then you don't trade. But when you're obviously going down, that's when I think it makes more sense.
Elliot, Pro Football Focus brought out, and I'm sure you did this on Go Birds Daily. I didn't hear it if you did. Pro Football Focus listed their top 10 returning head coaches, and Nick Sirianni was listed as 8. Do you feel like that was a fair ranking?
So I do think he belongs in the top 5. I think that, you know, with both him and Jalen, there isn't an obvious feeling to feel like they're being slighted when they're not ranked super high. I think with head coaches, there are more legacy head coaches right now than there are quarterbacks. If you just look at ones that have clearly accomplished more than Sirianni, have done it for longer, I mean, there are a few of those. Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin. Now, will I take them over Sirianni right now? I think that's an interesting debate, but I think you would have to put them ahead of Sirianni for that. And then McVay, you know, he's also won a Super Bowl. Sirianni does win more games than McVay does. He also beats McVay all the time. But I don't think that's an egregious one to have. So I think 8 is too low. I wouldn't put Shanahan ahead of him. But I don't think he is absolutely should be in the top 3 like Jalen should be.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a lot different. I would have him in front of Harbaugh. And, you know, I love John as my old coach. Mike Tomlin, I think, is more living off reputation than actual results. Hasn't won a playoff game, in 9 years. Neither one of those guys called plays, so they don't have that advantage over Nick Sirianni either. Jim Harbaugh, I don't give a damn that he won an illegal championship at Michigan when he was there. He didn't win anything when he was in the NFL. He hasn't won. He got his team to the Super Bowl a decade ago, and his brother beat him over a decade ago, and his brother hasn't gone back to the Super Bowl either since then. Nick Sirianni's gone to 2 Super Bowls and has the highest winning percentage in the history of any other coach in the league right now. How can he not be a top 5 head coach? It's a what have you done? It's a what have you done for me lately league.
Yeah, so I think based off that list, and I think with Jalen, I don't know, like he'll have to win a lot more, in my opinion, for the national audience to kind of put him high up. I think with Sirianni, that could change quickly, and for the reason I think that is because if you look at the offensive coordinator this year, that is clearly Nick's guy. I think that the reason Nick is dinged on these lists is because he's viewed as, you know, not being the schematic guy, not being, you know, he doesn't call plays. But this year, while he might not be calling plays, it is clearly his guy. Like, Kellen Moore was not his guy. If the offense is good this year, if they win 80% of the games again this year, if they have a deep playoff run, I don't know at that point what you would hold against Nick. So I think that with like his right-hand man in power now, I do think this could be the year where if they're good again, you see him go up on the floor.
Yeah, this is the last pushback against what you're saying because it's coming from you. It's just me reacting to what you're saying. If that is a narrative, that's BS as well. That's BS. Like, it's about what people's perception is of Nick Sirianni. And quite frankly, because I can't dance around it, I'm not smart enough to articulate a way of tiptoeing around this, they don't think he's very smart.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to. Because Tomlin doesn't call plays. That's not his defense. He's not an offensive guy. He's had multiple defensive coordinators out there in Pittsburgh. He's barely been over 500, right? Like, he's pretty much there because of the sort of structure that the Steelers organization is, that they don't fire coaches very often out there. But any other place, he could already make a case that he could be gone. Just because you don't have a losing record, that's not the standard in the NFL. And then my guy John Harbaugh, he's had high expectations, and quite frankly, he's had good enough teams and have not met expectations.
Yeah, I think generally, I think what it is that nationally, like
they think he's a goof.
Well, that is, and by the way, he can come across as that, which I understand. But I think nationally, like the soft skills when I say soft skills, I mean leadership, culture, all those sorts
exactly.
of things. They're very. I think they're just much more difficult to understand if you're not paying attention to the team every day. I think we have a better concept of
yes.
what he is good at in that respect than many national people.
The guy
would
has
have.
Had to navigate in this city 3 situations where there's adversity to overcome. 2 out of the 3, he succeeded. His first year, he pulled them out of a 2-5, 2-7 start, whatever that was, got them to the playoffs. He didn't succeed in 2023 when they had adversity. But the way he bounced back from that, and then the first month of last year to go on to win the Super Bowl, I mean, this dude, it's not like he's had a cakewalk to success. He's been put to the test. He's been put to the test by his own players, by us in the media. And the dude still succeeds. I don't understand how the guy doesn't get respect as a coach in his league when, quite frankly, managing personalities in today's NFL, where so many teams crumble with star power because of egos and everything else, and even coaches that have egos, this dude has shown flexibility, the willingness to let other people come in, and quite frankly, perception that he was demoted from a play-calling standpoint, and still be able to overcome that stuff. I just think the dude don't get enough credit, and I don't give a damn about calling plays. You can have all the geniuses you want that call plays. I'll roll with this dude. I'll roll with him.
To piggyback off Ike's point, the coach right ahead of him, Kyle Shanahan, I think is viewed as smart, right? He is viewed as a smart offensive guy. He calls the plays.
And he is.
Well, he is.
He is.
No, he is. But I just mean the resume of Nick is better than Shanahan's resume. And I think that when we focus so much on the X's and O's, and remember last year at this time, pre-snap motion was a big thing we talked about at the time.
Yep.
We don't talk about that anymore because they won. So I agree, if you put Shanahan and Nick in a room, does Shanahan come up with a more creative offense than Nick? Yes. But I think that on this list and in general with head coaches, we over-prioritize that part of it and not the other parts you guys were just talking about.
Creative but also good. Kyle Shanahan.
He's a good coach, I agree. But
No. But you said he would come up with more creative offense than Nick. But it's not just that it's creative, it's also that it is good.
Well, but Nick's offense is good too.
He also blew two 10-point leads in the Super Bowl.
No, I'm not. This isn't an argument for Kyle Shanahan.
That's not even including the 28-3 lead.
This is not an argument like that Kyle Shanahan is better or worse or whatever. It's just the way that Elliott talks about it, I think, is shaded in a way that is dismissing what Kyle Shanahan is good at.
Right.
Like, you're saying it is creative and he's perceived as smart. He's actually good at it. Like, it's not just the perception that he's smart. He's actually good at it.
No, I agree with you, but I think the dismissive part you hear is, I think, like, Mike McDaniels for a long time was viewed as a great head coach. I just think we over-prioritize the schematic part of it. And so yes, I agree. I am being dismissive of what Shanahan's good at. So I think it's important, but I don't think it's as important as the things Nick's good at.
Sure. I think if our head coach had gotten the last pick in the NFL draft to be the number one ranked quarterback in the NFL, we would probably give him credit for being good at offense.
For sure. Shanahan is good at offense. I agree
with
that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You mentioned online that you're starting to do your 53-man roster projection. And it was an interesting thing that you said, that like in previous years, you would be like, how are they going to get down to 53? But in this year, you're almost having trouble figuring out who the 53 are that will get to 53. I was wondering, as you were figuring that out, if it shades your initial projection of how good you think they'll be this year.
So I initially, when I did the roster, I had 48 guys where I went through and thought, okay, he should make it, keep him. And then I had to go and find other people to put on the roster. So in terms of it shading my opinion, I do think what it highlights is there are a lot of unknowns on the bottom half of this roster. And, you know, with the Eagles roster in general, obviously the top 20, 25 players, whatever, or probably more like top 20 players, are all elite. They have a lot of players that are top five in the league at their position. But as a result of losing guys in free agency, they definitely have unproven guys on the roster now. And I think what's mostly interesting to me is that normally there's two or three young players that are not rookies, that are not like just drafted guys, where you go, man, you don't want to cut that guy. Like Eli Rick 2 years ago was that guy. You don't want to cut him. And maybe at the end of training camp, those guys will emerge. But a lot of the guys at the bottom of their roster are guys that have been in the NFL for 2 years. They were on a practice squad. Now they're on the Eagles. So there's just not, I don't think, that excitement about those guys as there were in past years. So the roster is still very good. I just think they have a lot of, you know, they have seven or eight spots on the roster that they need players to step up in, as opposed to, you know, 60 good players that they're going to only be able to keep 53 of them.
Elliot, before we let you go, you mentioned, we know that Ace Bailey was number one on your big board and VJ Edgecombe was two.
All the time.
Curious who you had as three and four.
So I had Trey Johnson at three. I would have taken him if it couldn't have been those two. Honestly, I didn't really have a four. Those were the only three guys I liked.
Oh, man. Okay. Con could nipple, man. The nip.
Nah, there was no shot. I would have traded the pick before I took him. I do have a hypothetical trade for you guys, though.
Ooh. Oh, what sport?
Right, so with how it's going with Ace Bailey in Utah, I do think the Sixers should call and see if they're willing to trade him, right? See if you can get him.
Hold on real quick.
Real quick, Ace. I mean, real quick, Elliot. So it. So he doesn't. He's gonna. Like he's even hinting that he won't even go to Utah, right? And that he might sit out. And with the report that they told a top five team not to draft him because he's not going to play, and we know that it's not Utah, and we know that it's not San Antonio, and we know that it's not Dallas, so we're pretty sure that it's Philly. You would go and trade for a guy who is threatening to sit out in Utah after they already told you that he would sit out in Philadelphia.
Yes, because I think he's undervalued at this point. It's like you said, I think it was on Friday, once you make the pick, the value of it's cut in half. So currently, Ace Dailey is undervalued because of everything that's happening. So
they're not going to trade him. They're not going to trade. They knew what they were getting into.
Here's my hypothetical trade.
Okay.
Would you trade Tyrese Maxey and the Clippers future pick for Ace Dailey and Lauri Markkanen?
That is the worst idea I've heard on WIP in 3 months.
You know you're dealing with Danny Ainge, right?
Why?
Well, because Utah wouldn't do that.
Can I tell you, Ace Bailey is never going to be as good as Tyrese Maxey is right now. Never.
You might be right about that. You might be right about that.
Okay. So we're trading a draft pick and Tyrese Maxey for a guy, by the way, Lauri Markkanen, probably also not as good as Tyrese Maxey is. Like, what are we doing?
I think that's debatable. I do think Lauri Markkanen this time last year had more value. He didn't have a great year. But he also does fit better with the other pieces. I don't super care that they have a bunch of guards because you just let them figure it out. But Lauri Markkanen would have an obvious position on this team. He could be the
four
of them, right?
So he would. I would not trade for Ace Bailey.
Okay, but also you're selling high on Tyrese. I don't know. I think it makes sense.
You're not selling high on Tyrese. You're not selling high on Tyrese.
I don't think his value will ever be higher than it is right now.
But you know, if you traded him now, you are selling high on him. Your trade is not selling high on. Yeah, but your trade is not selling high on him.
I think it is. What if I told you before the draft that they would trade Tyrese for the number five pick in Lauri Markkanen?
But the number five pick is Ace Bailey, who I don't think is going to be that good.
Right, it's the player.
Right. But I do think he's going to be good. So that's why.
That's the disconnect. Yes.
No. I hesitate to ask you this. What do you think the best movie since the year 2000 is?
So I'm bad at listing my favorite movies. I always forget which ones I like. But I do think The Truman Show is a great movie.
That was definitely
easily in the 90s.
That's the 90s.
That was in the
90s. Easily the 90s.
Oh, really? Was it? Wow.
Yeah, I remember seeing that in college. Yeah, I don't know. I was in school when I saw that.
Was Man on the Moon in the 90s?
It's a Michael Jackson song.
No, Man on the Moon is a movie about Andy Kaufman,
and
it was in the 2000s, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Thank
so
you,
those would be my tips. Yeah, no problem.
All right.
Man in a Mirror.
You can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast. Comes out every day. And on the podcast, he usually sticks to the Eagles, which is an enormous bonus.
Yeah.
So you don't think I should tweet that hypothetical trade?
Well, go ahead if you want. Might as well.
Yeah, the Eagles' elitism was showing with your top 10 important athletes in Philadelphia, too, yesterday.
Yeah, that as well.
Well, I know you're mad none of the Phillies were on it besides Painter, but I think that's just
weird.
Well,
it was very stupid.
It was a weird list.
Yeah, it was an odd list.
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
Yeah.
All right, Elliot.
All right, I'll talk to you.
There he is, Elliot Shoreparks. He wants to trade for Ace Bailey because he's not showing up in Utah, so he cannot show up here.
Yeah. And listen, I don't know who his representation is, but...
Oh, dude, you got to see. I sent Jack a video of his agent earlier.
Yeah, that dude. Yeah. That's terrible advice, man.
It's not good advice.
Terrible advice, man. A, you're trying to play hardball with Danny Ainge. That's not going to work. You're not going to bully Utah into doing anything.
Absolutely not.
So he's just wasting a year or whatever you're planning to do. He's just wasting... I don't get it, dude. Go there... Listen, I'm pretty sure Donovan Mitchell wasn't happy he went to Utah.
No.
Initially.
Yeah.
But you get there, you do what you got to do, and then you'll get traded eventually. They trade everybody eventually.
Yeah.
Every brother that goes out there gets traded except for Karl Malone. Everybody else pretty much leaves.
Yeah, you'll get a chance.
If you're a star player, and you don't want to be there, You wait till after you get the max, yeah, and then you ask to be traded.
If you want to play chicken with Danny Ainge,
it's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
Nope.
And by the way, trying to get him to sell low on you after they just spent the number 5 pick on you is not going to work.
Not going to work, man.
And you're going to give up $50 million?
Right.
Which is what he's...
Guaranteed. Is that what he's guaranteed?
Yeah. He has five years, about $10 million a year. He's getting bad advice.
Yeah.
Just show up.
Yeah, that's why you can't. I don't know who it is, but close friends and relatives, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Can't be your agents.
Yeah, come on, man.
215-592-9494. Steve in Marlton, you're on WIP. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How you doing? First time caller of your show. Hope you're doing well.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
What's up, Steve?
That may be the most ridiculous trade proposal I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so happy to give it to him.
How are you selling high on Maxey, getting back a role player and a guy who was the second fiddle on Rutgers?
Go ahead.
Okay. The reason I was calling about the Phillies and your poll, I don't feel any better or worse because I was always kind of optimistic coming in. I'll tell you why.
I think that's fair.
When Soto was signed, everybody was like, well, now they're the odds-on favorite. They could possibly overtake the Dodgers, blah, blah, blah. I didn't see it that way. I saw the Mets as a team. When you look back at when Soto was on San Diego in 22, they had a better bullpen, they had a better starting rotation, and they had a better lineup around them, and it wasn't enough. The Mets starting pitching coming into the season, even with their additions of the mid-range starters they made, to me wasn't enough. I said the Phillies would win the division because the Mets pitching was not going to be good and that the Braves were going to take a step back because they didn't have Strider and Acuna for at least a month. The only thing that's changed is not so much where I expected the Phillies to be, but where the Mets pitching has brought them. The Mets pitching has kind of overachieved a little bit. That can come back down to earth. But I still think the Phillies, despite their flaws, and there's a few, they're still, what, 2 games out of the best record in the National League? Without Harper, without Nola, and without Alvarado.
Yeah, I would bet. By the way, I don't think anybody on the Phillies is outperforming their ability. And I think the entire Mets pitching staff is. So, like, I think if the Phillies don't finish with a better record than the Mets, then that is a failure of the Phillies. I think they are good enough to have a better record than the Mets this year. I just think they should.
Well, and now they lost, what, Griffin Canning last night?
They did. They lost Canning last
night. On top of Manaea.
And Achilles, by the way.
On top of Manaea got shut down with the elbow inflammation. So.
Yeah. Steve, give us your...
Is Montas back yet? I heard his... Yeah.
Yeah, Montas is back. He pitched on earlier this week. He actually pitched well, but he's not a difference maker.
Steve, give us your favorite movie since the year 2000.
So this is going to be an obscure movie. I actually just saw it last week. It's a Netflix movie called Strong. I don't know if you ever heard
Strong?
Of it.
Strong? Never heard of it.
Tyler Perry. I saw it. Yeah, Tyler Perry movie.
Oh, Netflix. Yeah, it's good?
Yeah.
It's a Tyler Perry movie, but it's not what you would expect from Tyler Perry. The movie, it was outstanding. If you get a chance to look at it. It was a great, great movie.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
I still struggle with the movies that go straight to, like, the streaming sites.
That's what a lot of them are doing, though.
Yeah. I mean, some of them, they're even the ones that are out in the theaters, a lot of times they're on streaming 2 weeks later.
Yeah. I just think they got to be in the theater.
You don't even go to that theater.
I know.
Yeah.
It's just the principle.
real quick,
yeah.
How do you think those Mets fans are feeling about Juan Soto now?
Yeah, he's
probably pretty good.
He's no longer Juan Soto.
Right.
Yeah.
First month of the season, we're ready to trade him back. Yeah. Give him back.
Yeah.
He's looking pretty good.
1 month into a 15-year deal.
Yeah.
Still going to be a DH in 2 years, but probably a pretty good DH.
Pretty damn good DH. Yeah.
You probably don't want him in the field anyway.
Yeah, no. Coming up next, Tornado Shapiro's weekend forecast.
Oh, looking forward to that.
Let's talk about the Sixers picked up a couple of players yesterday, one in the second round, one as an undrafted free agent. Talk about those guys. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Big games, always better with crab fries. Online at chickiesandpetes.com. The official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. 215-592-9494. Do you feel better about the Phillies now than you did when the season started? This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.